Sitting down today with Noah Rubin, we're going to talk about some late round, I'm going to call them sleepers. It's a nice name that people like to hear. So late round sleepers, as well as touching on the recent Kawhi Leonard injury news. Let's go, balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us at FBI Basketball or head to the website FBIBasketball.com. Our redraft leagues have just launched. So head to the website, head to Discord, hit me up, hit Noah up, hit B-Dub up, any of us, and we'll be able to point you in the direction of those leagues. A range of formats, buy-ins, a ton of leagues, a lot of fun. We are on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please like, rate, and subscribe. Noah, it's been a little bit since we did a show, and this was very late notice. So thanks for getting me in late in the afternoon.
Yeah, no problem. It's been a crazy few weeks for me. I just did a show last night with Mitch Casey, but before that, it had been about 3 weeks since I'd done a show. So I know it's probably not quite the worst possible time. I guess October would be the worst time to not be available to do podcasts, but the timing isn't ideal. But it's fun to be back. And if you do have questions about those leagues, don't ask me because I actually don't know anything. But Kingy and B-Dub are great resources, so redirect you to them.
Yeah, look, even if it's just hitting you up for those that follow you and you can send them a link to the website or to Discord or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know a ton about the leagues. I jump into a few of them. We are also – so the World Cup is about to launch – formally, I don't think it formally has. We've filled a few spots, but I'm fairly certain that we're going to, we're working on coming up with a way of letting people join because there's always a waiting list. It's always sort of a rush to get into those leagues. So I think we'll be doing something like where we give away a keyword on episodes, things like that. So that'll be starting in the next week, and I'd say you might potentially be part of that as well, where you give 10 spots out on an episode or something. I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet. But B-Dub he's balls deep in leagues at the moment. He's trying to set up, I don't know how many. I mean, even the World Cup is, 576 participants. So I don't know how many. What's that divided by 12? It's a lot.
48?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So 48.
Yep. All right. So there's 48
math for you.
48 divisions just in the World Cup, and then there's all our redraft leagues as well. So, anyway, yeah, a lot coming up. As you said, we're on the horizon of crazy season. Preseason starts in a week ish, I think, a bit over a week. So we're going to start getting some news and notes about rotations and minutes and lineups and things like that. And we already got some news yesterday, I want to say, potentially the day before, on Kawhi Leonard having a procedure during the offseason. Now, I don't think anyone was taking him. No one was taking him first round. Second round, maybe late, but he's been going around that 30 mark, I think, sort of early third round. With this news of their injury, I mean, they're implying that he's going to be okay for the start of the season, but we've heard this before regarding other players with off-season surgery. Kawhi Leonard doesn't have a good track record when it comes to knee complaints and issues. So does this impact sort of you? Are you happy to still take him somewhere, or are you just ignoring him altogether at this point?
I mean, the way you look at it is that he's not a guy that you would technically ignore altogether, but he is a guy where if you're smart about it, that you're probably not going to take him early enough to actually have a chance of getting him. So like, yes, mm-hmm. if he's there in round eight, I will draft Kawhi Leonard. He will not be there in round eight because he probably still shouldn't go past like round five or so. I was looking back after we did that because I've drafted one league so far. It's the FBI draft only league. And I took him in the third round. I was like, great. We're off to a good start there. But hopefully it'll end up being okay. Yeah. I mean, you can't, I don't know. He's too talented to completely write off your board, but I don't think that's what anybody means when they say there's no way I'm drafting Kawhi Leonard. Like, yes, you will. If he's there in round 10, you will draft Kawhi Leonard. I promise yes. you will.
Yes.
But like round five, I think is still fairly realistic and pretty fair just because of how good he is. And who knows, maybe he is somewhat healthy to start the year and they have sort of minutes. Yep. Left. And then by like mid-November, early December, he's at full go and he's able to play a ton of games like he did last year. Like, Kawhi is just, I mean, I get it. Everybody's probably been burned by him at some point over the last few years. So hopefully it's not just another year already like that, but he's too talented to let slip too much further than where he was going.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think fifth round around that 50 mark is probably where you want to start considering him, but someone's going to take him in the 40s or the 30s yeah. still, I think. Like, there'll be some leagues where he does drop and then there might be a bit of a few people sort of scrambling to grab him. But yeah, I wasn't even drafting him before this injury, really. I was just leaving him for someone else, much like mm-hmm. with Joel Embiid. I'm happy to let them slide and go to someone else. So, and then the other news we got very briefly before we get into our sleepers was Mitch Robinson, not being ready for the start of the season, and the Knicks don't have a lot of depth at the center option with Hartenstein now in Oklahoma City. They have Jericho Sims, and they have Precious Achiuwa, two options. And I think Precious is pretty clearly the preference out of those two. I guess two parts to this question: is Precious Achiuwa now a sleeper? Like, could we add him to this list? And will they play Julius Randle at center? Because I'm seeing both sides of the argument on Twitter. Some people are saying they'll be great. I think I read something this morning that I'm not sure if anyone listens to him, but he's come out and said he thinks the Knicks will have the best record in the NBA and that Randle will thrive at center. I'm not so sure. I mean, we know his defensive shortcomings. We've seen them on display. So what do you think happens here with the Knicks? Will they start Precious and then Randle just gets a few minutes here and there depending on the matchup?
Well, if Kendrick Perkins said it, I think I need to just go ahead and go with the exact opposite because he also had a quote saying, I think this is the one I saw, was that nobody's scared of Boston. I'm like, okay, dude, they're still the best team in the league. Like, they just dominated the playoffs. But he's probably also hyping up the Knicks to say that they're definitely going to be better than Boston because whatever is going on there. But so, yes, I would say Precious Achiuwa is a sleeper in the sense that you take him in the last couple of rounds. If he works out well, great. You have an option for first 2 months or so, because I think they were targeting a December or January return for Mitch Robinson was one of the quotes I saw. So, I mean, quote unquote, best case scenario. I mean, that would be best case scenario for if you have Precious Achiuwa and not Mitch Robinson, then he isn't ready to go until January. And even then they bring him along a little slowly. So maybe you have decent production out of Precious Achiuwa for 3 months. Like, that would be great. So yeah, I would take him in the later rounds unless they make a trade between now and the start of training camp or now and by the time you draft. But I think that they should make a trade, because your second question was about Julius Randle playing center. And I can't see Tom Thibodeau saying, yeah, we're going to run, like, try and be the best defensive team in the league, you know, run some of these guys' knees into the ground by playing them 35 minutes a game with Julius Randle at center. Like, he might sprinkle him in at center at times. I could see that, just off the sense that he wouldn't want to play Precious Achiuwa and Jericho Sims the entire time. Like, if they don't trade for another center, then maybe. But I don't think that's something that he sticks with long enough for that to really even matter. Like, I think it's just going to be, okay, they're trying a small ball lineup here and there. But, I mean, there's plenty of centers that could be available. And ideally, they trade for Clint Capella, Like that would be great. I think I was reading like about the salaries not really working out, but maybe they can get Larry Nance because Atlanta has three options at center and we want as little competition for Onyeka Okongwu as possible. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. As you said, there are some centers out there. So we'll see what the Knicks do. I mean, I thought Achua was decent last year when he played big minutes. In terms of production, I don't know how impactful he is on winning and losing and that sort of thing. But I do think he makes for a viable target with your last pick now. Because even if you can, as you said, if you get 2 or 3 months value out of him, that's all you really need from a last round pick. So we will transition into what we were here to talk about, and that is favorite last round or late round targets. I'm sort of thinking outside the top 120, 130. And I mentioned I've been doing my reverse punch shows, and on the third episode, which I don't know if that'll come out before this or after this, but I talked about the fact that there's a bit of a lull sort of in those, let me have a look. So in the sort of in the 90s, early hundreds, bit of a lull there for 2 or 3 rounds. But I actually, once you get into your 10th or, no, let's go 11th, 12th, 13th, depending on how deep your league is, round pick, there's actually a bit there this year. There's actually a few players that I think, especially if you're punting points or you're in a position where you can ignore points. So you've built that category up early in your draft. And you don't have to worry about points at all. I actually love the back end of the draft this year. So I just thought we'd talk about a few of our favorite targets. Now, I know you've got a list of 11 players, so I'll let you take us off with some of your names.
Yeah, I had 11 that I just kind of jotted down really quickly. I didn't verify ADPs to make sure that they were truly sleepers.
I've got the ADPs up here, the Yahoo, current Yahoo ones, so we can have a look at that.
I'll just go in order of my list. The first guy I want to talk about is Christian Brown. I was actually talking about him with Mitch Casey last night because I had him as a dynasty sleeper. I feel better about him at being a sleeper this year than dynasty, but he still ended up being a sleeper for that. But just being a 23-year-old that is heading into a starting spot, replacing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, going to get passes from Nikola Jokic. Like, he's not going to be asked to do a ton offensively, but I think he can score and shoot a little. Pretty good rebounder for a guard. Get you some steals, like get out in transition and get some buckets. Just kind of do all the little things that they need to win. So I think he'll be a good fit there. And I mean, I'm sure you can verify his ADP, but I think getting him in the late rounds, he's young enough that I'm like, yeah, maybe he ends up just being better. I'm not saying that is like a, safest breakout player there is, but like, I like him in the later rounds.
Yeah, so his ADP is currently 145. So, certainly fits this discussion. I think he's in for probably 30 minutes a night this year. He'll basically step into that KCP role. As we saw last season, we've seen from KCP basically throughout his career, he's never been a high upside kind of guy, but he's been solid enough, always plays good minutes. So Brown steps into that role. We've seen flashes. We really still haven't seen him in a consistent role where he's playing this much. So, I think he's got to be on the court, and he is one of those players who can just sort of chip in across multiple categories. So he's not going to blow you away and score 25 points or anything like that. But he's efficient. He gets some defensive stuff. He'll get a few assists. He rebounds well. So, yeah, I like him as a last rounder.
Do you want me to just keep you on down the list, or are we going to
go with a couple more?
All right. Well, do we just want to say Dyson Daniels' name and then not actually talk about him, because we've talked about him enough between like 17 different podcasts this summer?
Yeah, no, and he's on my list, of course, as well.
That's why I knew it was going to overlap with that one. I think there's a couple more that I'm pretty confident are going to overlap.
I mean, people who listen to us, they know that, Dyson is someone that we're hoping can play a significant role in Atlanta. And that'll be part of this preseason. So the takeaways from the preseason will be, does Dyson start or does Bogdan start. I've said I hope it's Dyson. I think he makes sense as a starter alongside Trey, whereas Bogdanovich, I think, can be a really good sixth man for them. So, yeah, well, I don't think we need to talk too much about Dyson.
Yeah, cool. We don't have to. The other two I have that I'm pretty confident you're going to have as well, or at least one of them, Trace Jackson-Davis.
Yep.
And Brandon Pajemski.
Pajemski I didn't have, but I do like him. But I think maybe I didn't because I just thought he was starting to go a bit higher. His ADP is still 125. Trace Jackson-Davis is about 127. So they're both
sleepers.
They're both sleepers. yes, I do like Jackson-Davis is someone that's starting to grow on me a little bit. I've taken him in a couple of mocks and But talk about him. I mean, what do you think his role looks like this year?
Unfortunately, I don't think that's something that we can predict just because it's Steve Kerr at head coach and he might switch it up 17 times throughout the regular season, like every few games, just kind of change something out if they lose. I think there's a chance that he starts and it might just end up being matchup dependent, depending on who they – like if they want to have him down low with Draymond guarding somebody else. Or if it's that they want Draymond in the center playing in help defense, just depending on the matchups. But 25 minutes per game is very realistic. I don't know if he'll get to 10 rebounds. He didn't have great rebounding numbers last year, though it was in limited minutes. I think he can get close to 10, maybe 8 or 9. But really, he's making his money off of sky-high field goal percentage because he's not doing anything but placing the ball on the rim. And he's blocking a ton of shots. And he's a little bit undersized for a big, but that didn't affect him at all in his rookie year. I don't expect it to impact him in year two either. So, I mean, it's not this high upside late round sleeper that could potentially average like 16 and 12 with 2.5 blocks and then chip in a little bit here and there. Like it's going to be fairly limited, but he's going to make a big impact in a few categories.
Yeah. And I don't think that even if he starts, some nights, maybe not all nights, he's not going to be a starting center in terms of minutes. Nope. Like I think even if he starts, he'll probably top out at about 25 minutes. There might be the occasion where he does hit 30 minutes where he's just playing really well and they're going with a team that's helping them win kind of thing. But, yeah, with Draymond there, Kevon Looney is still there. I know he's hasn't really been in that discussion, but he has proven that he can be a solid enough center for them. So, no, I like Jackson-Davis, but, yeah, I don't think he is going to hit that mark of typical starting minutes. And whereas Pajemski, I think, will or could. I know adding De'Anthony Melton and adding Kyle Anderson and adding
Buddy Hield
complicates things a little bit. Because they're three players that all play a similar role or similar position. But I think Pods will start and get first crack at the meaningful minutes. So do you think he can hit 30 minutes a night?
I think the most I could see is 32, but I at the same time see 28 being pretty realistic. I mean, he was a part-time starter last year and got 27 minutes per game. But like it also just kind of depended on which game as to how his minutes look. I think 30's not out of the question. I don't think it's guaranteed because the amount of other guys there, but it's possible.
Yeah, and I think if we remember back to last year, there was I can't remember dates exactly, but there was a little period where he was playing starters minutes and was looking really good and taking minutes away from Klay Thompson. And that's sort of when Trace Jackson-Davis started to step into a bigger role as well. And then down the stretch, Steve Kerr scaled him back a little bit. But I think we saw enough from him he's not going to be like a Klay Thompson and come out and hit four threes a game or anything like that. But he'll get shot. Like he'll get an opportunity to shoot those three-pointers and see if he can hit them. But he's a good rebounder. He's solid enough defensively. So I think of the two, I mean, they're very different in terms of categories and statistical need and that sort of thing. But of the two of them, I think, yeah, Pajemski is probably the most likely to to get consistent starters minutes. All right, I'm going to throw a name in.
Real quick, on Pajemski, they had that quote. They wanted him to shoot 8 to 10 threes a game. So maybe he will be like Klay Thompson and hit 4 threes a game.
Well, if he can shoot, yeah, we'll see what his percentage. What was his percentage from three last year?
38.5 on 3.2 attempts. So like,
okay,
I was kind of joking. I'm not actually expecting him to shoot 8 to 10 threes a game, but I mean, I think it'll be closer to 5 or 6 maybe. And if he's continuing to hit 38%, like, I mean, yeah, he's not gonna be great at threes, but I think he'll be better than he was as a rookie simply because they're gonna want him to take more and he's gonna see some extra minutes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he probably gets to 2, maybe 2.5, depending on made threes. All right. Who do we want to talk about? And I mean, as I said to you off air, I'm basically doing a mock draft a day. So I'm just going to talk about guys that I seem to be ending up with a lot. Where is he? I'm going to start with Amen Thompson because I'm pretty much landing him in every draft. His ADP is 125. I think I've taken him as high as about 100 and maybe 100 I took him, but I'm more sort of looking at that 110 to 120 range. And really just because, as I said, at this point of the draft, I'm usually not concerned with points. And so that rules out one of his sort of, not a flaw, but certainly not a strength. But he'll be very good defensively. He rebounds. He'll get some assists. Probably only hits about 25 minutes. I guess that's the question with a lot of these Houston guys. Same with Tari Eason. Same with Reed Shepherd. How many minutes do they get? Because they're going to be, if based on what we saw last year, they're going to be moderately competitive this season, probably pushing for a playoff or play-in spot at least. Mm-hmm. So we're not necessarily considering them as a team that's going to tear it down and just roll out their young guys until potentially very late in the season, maybe once we hit April. But, yeah, I guess what are your thoughts on, well, I mean Thompson, but the rotation in Houston?
It's going to be interesting. I don't know. It's so just for specifically for Amen Thompson, last 2 months of last season, 26.5 minutes was just outside of top 75, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal and a half, almost a block, good field goal percentage. Like obviously we know he can't shoot, neither of the Twins can, but the rebounds, defensive numbers and decent assist numbers in limited minutes. So that was encouraging to see. Last year he played 22 minutes per game. So I can easily see him getting to 25 just simply off the fact that he's going to be better and they are going to have to give him minutes. Same thing with, I think lesser extent is Cam Whitmore, but Tari Eason and potentially Reed Shepherd, depending on how good he is as a rookie. It's hard to say exactly right now, but I don't see Ime Udoka as a guy that's going to say, no, Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks are 100% our starters if other guys are playing better. He hasn't been afraid to bench Jalen Green in the past. Those minutes could come down consistently, even if he continues to start. But then if things could change with that, and I think Dylan Brooks is good enough defensively that I don't really see him getting pushed out of the starting lineup unless things like he's just not as good defensively or he's just that bad offensively. That's the only path for Amen Thompson or Tari Eason or somebody else to move into the starting lineup. But 25 minutes per game, I think, is definitely possible for Amen Thompson, specifically if they're is a couple of injuries in front of him because that'll obviously just open up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go. You did Trace. I don't need to do Trace. All right. Why don't we go with, let's go with Scoot. Cause he's another guy that I've found myself
talking about certain
builds. I think people sort of look back at Scoot and in his rookie season and just think it was a disaster. And, yeah, look, it wasn't – it certainly wasn't great and it was unfortunate in some respects for him that he was a rookie alongside Wemby and Chet because they had two of arguably the two best rookie seasons in history or right up there with like a Chris Paul, Karl-Anthony Towns in terms of fantasy production. So Scoot, and look, even Brandon Miller, to be honest, was pretty good. I think Charlotte, obviously, it was a very favorable situation with the injuries and things like that. So Scoot was sort of just the forgotten man when it came to the rookies last year. But he looked, I thought he looked okay down the stretch. If you look at pure rank, that's not necessarily the case because he has some glaring holes in his fantasy game. He turns the ball over a lot. His percentages are pretty bad. So, like, I've got his numbers here. Over the last, I don't know, let's look at the last month. He played 33.5 minutes a game. So he was the 187th ranked player. So people would go, well, that's terrible. Why would I add a guy that's outside the top 180? But he averaged 18.3 points, 7.5 assists, and 1.4 steals with 2.1 threes. Those numbers are good and are worth rostering, absolutely, if you can ignore the fact that he turned the ball over. Where are his turnovers down here? 4.9 turnovers per game and 41.5% from the field. So they really drag his value down, but I'm not concerned with that at all. I think Portland, unlike Houston, are in a position where they are going to roll their young guys out and give them minutes because they're not going to be competitive. So I think Scoot is probably in for a decent year where he plays upwards of 30 minutes. He's probably, I don't know, 17, 18 points, 7 assists, a steal, 2 threes, which is absolutely worth drafting.
Yeah, Scoot's really good, and he's going to be really good. Obviously, this rookie year wasn't great, mostly because of the percentages and turnovers. But like you said, like down the stretch, he just continued to improve throughout the year. I had said it all season. I was like, oh, there's going to come a time where he's just like absolutely dominating down the stretch. It might take a while. It might not be until later in the season. But like he just kept not doing it, and it was frustrating. Probably made me look bad, but. Mm. He did have some games late where, like you said, like the turnovers were still high, the field goal percentage was still bad, but he was getting double-doubles, scoring a lot. Just looking at the numbers, it's kind of crazy. Like, you would expect that, okay, he's taking a bunch of threes and he's probably doing well getting to the rim, but shooting threes at a low percentage, but that wasn't really the case. Like, 32.5% as a rookie over the final 2 weeks, 41.7% from three, but the two-point percentage was significantly worse. Like, it was 41.6% on two-point attempts. Like, for an athletic guard, maybe you'd expect that to be a bit higher. So, actually, looking at that, I was like, shoot, I need to go and look at his shot profile on NBA.com at some point and just figure out exactly what the percentage were from each spot just because I'm curious now. But, yeah, no, I mean, the assists, the steals, pretty, like, better threes than I was expecting at, like, down the stretch. The points are obviously going to be there. Plays well in a points league, probably better than a category league. Because the field goal percentage and I mean the turnovers are so bad, but if you're in a like say you got Trae Young early in the draft and then you went Scoot late, because you're already at that point, you're gonna say screw your field goal percentage and turnovers.
Yeah,
like that fits really well. So I think it's definitely taking him in the last round if you're kind of considering your build. I think that's important.
Yeah, and I think his ADP might climb a little bit. He's at 134 now. I think he probably gets into the 120s by the time we're all said and done there, especially if they're using drafts that I'm in, because as I said, I'm taking him much higher than that. All right, I'll go with one more and then we'll let you... who else have I ended up with? Actually, there's probably guys down. Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's one. Well, do I want to? I won't do Ben Simmons.
Please.
Maybe I'll. I won't put you.
Can end with that one.
We'll end with that one. Because then you can just leave whenever you're ready.
There we go. I'll let you get your little monologue off and then.
Taylor Hendricks. Let's talk about Taylor Hendricks. So he's a guy that I'm ending up with a lot as well. Very similar to Amen Thompson and to a lesser extent, Asar Thompson. I am getting him, both Thompsons actually, in a lot of spots. But Taylor Hendricks, I think when the Jazz announced that they re-signed Lauri Markkanen, people just went, oh, okay, well, Hendricks, he's, that upside is gone now because Markkanen is there and he's going to play a lot of minutes. I thought Hendricks was pretty good down the stretch last year, and I think Utah, although they'll, I mean, on the surface, they'll be competing and they'll want to be winning and all that sort of stuff. I don't think that they're that good in the Western Conference. I mean, early on, they might fool a few people like they have the last couple of years, but I think Hendricks is probably going to be a good example of a player that does just enough in the first couple of months. And then once we hit January, February, he probably moves into a bigger role. So when we look at his numbers on the whole season, he might be at 28 or 29 minutes, whereas it's probably going to be 25 early in the season and maybe 33 later in the season, something like that. But we'll see. I mean, maybe they do just roll him out there, and he is a – so he's a triple one threat, which I know there's a few of those guys around now, but a steal, a block, probably closer to two threes than one three, but he's a good rebounder. Won't score a lot, but again, as I said, at this point of the draft, if you can ignore points, I think he's a really good good guy that can fill – a number of roles on your team. What do you think about Taylor Hendricks?
I mean, at first I was like, because I do like him long term, really high on him in Dynasty. But I was like, and like because Markkanen's there, John Collins, Walker Kessler, like there's a lot of guys playing down low. There's a lot of younger guys on the wing. But so I'm just looking at, I use ESPN for depth charts and box scores and stuff like that, just because it's what I've just habit. And they have, which granted, it's just a preseason box chart that we haven't even, or a depth chart we haven't even had like media day. So this could end up meaning nothing. But they have Markkanen starting at the three, Hendricks at the four, John Collins at the five. Mm-hmm. And are we sure that Walker Kessler is going to be the starting center? Like, I don't think I've seen any quote about any sort of lineup for them. So they weren't like, we all thought that Walker Kessler was going to play a ton last year and he didn't. Mm. So what if they just roll out that as their starting front court? Like, I think that makes Taylor Hendricks a great player to take in the late round. Even if he's one of those guys that we've talked about, he's like, he's a starter not playing 33 minutes per game or whatever. He's playing like 28 because they have so many guys, but you're right about like his role expanding as the season goes on. But I think that there's maybe, we'll call it a 20% chance that he just starts from day one. Like, I don't think that's necessarily the case that he will, because I mean, they have so many different guys that they could just experiment with different lineups, but I would say Markkanen is a guaranteed starter and that's probably it. Like, I would assume that John Collins starts, but I don't know that for sure. So what, like if you're taking Taylor Hendricks in the last two rounds and it's like, what if he starts? Like if everybody knew he was starting, he'd probably go a few rounds earlier.
Yeah, and I think, it'll somewhat depend on their mindset because, John Collins is there, obviously, and he's probably penciled in as the starter, but I think Hendricks gives them a different look. He's more of a defensive, he can spread the floor, doesn't necessarily have that offensive upside of John Collins, but can spread the floor. Like, I'd much rather have him out on the perimeter than John Collins, and just bring some defensive stuff to the floor, which Lowry doesn't do. Walker Kessler does. So, do they lean into Walker Kessler? So, again, another question that will hopefully be answered in a couple of weeks once we've seen some preseason games. We might get an indication as to who's going to start. All right, let's go with another one each, and then then I'll get my day going and let you go and start wrapping your day up.
I think I'm going to go with Grady Dick for my last one. I have other names that I was deciding between, but I think I'm going to go with Grady Dick for this last one because I haven't really got to talk about him a ton this offseason. But there was a few tweets from beat reporters. I think Bruce Brown is missing time early on. Like he had like a minor injury, which basically means that Grady Dick's probably going to be the starting shooting guard, at least to start the year. I mean, his game isn't this great nine-category production stat sheet or stats line or anything like that. But I think if you're taking a guy in the later rounds that could be a starter from day one and be a really good floor spacer on a team that, like, the starting lineup, if it's Quickly, Grady Dick, RJ Barrett, Scotty Barnes, Jakob Poeltl, like, RJ can shoot, but he's not like this elite floor spacer. Quickly can really shoot, but he's got the ball in his hands. Scotty Barnes, okay. Like, Poeltl's not spacing the floor. So I think having Grady Dick in there as a guy that can space the floor, like, he can get you a couple threes. I think he'll just be on the court enough to accumulate a couple of other stats here and there. It's mostly going to be points and threes, but I would definitely take him in the later rounds.
Yeah, and he's someone that no one's really talking about as a late round target. So I think you can absolutely, like, some of these guys we've talked about, Amen Thompson and Pajemski, these guys, they're not going to be available in the last round, usually, unless people just are completely overlooking them. Someone like a Grady Dick could be, because he's not, as you said, we haven't really had an opportunity to talk about him, but he's going to start in Toronto, and I think he proved last year that he can score the basketball, and that's what they're going to need him to do. So, it doesn't offer, I guess, we've talked about with Amen and Hendricks, who offer a little bit of upside in multiple categories. That Dick doesn't fit that mold, but points, threes, late, maybe a steal. There's a few guys there, like Gary Trent is another one that's probably going to play upwards of 30 minutes. So, yeah, I like Dick as a very last round if he fits that need for you. My last guy I'm going to talk about is I had a few, but I'm going to go with another guy that's not really getting talked about at all. And he's, let me have a look at what his ADP is 145, which is pretty similar to Dick. Grady Dick was down here at 150 something. 156 is Grady Dick. So he is very, very last round. Jeremy Sochan is 145 for the Spurs. And he's another guy that, as I said, not really getting talked about. I think people remember back to last year where they experimented with him at the point guard and it didn't go very well. And then his role sort of chopped and changed over the stretch. And I thought he had some good moments. But I think he's going to start. I think Harrison Barnes will start at three. I think they're going to be a competitive team. Yeah. At least for a while this year, they're going to try to be competitive. So I think Sochan can play 30 minutes minimum, and we've seen what he can do. He is a bit like a Taylor Hendricks. He's a good rebounder, a little bit of assists upside, not a ton. Doesn't have the floor spacing that Taylor Hendricks has, but certainly has some defensive chops. We'll hit a three. And obviously the free throw, the whole free throw thing is like people that watch him and see him shooting his one-handed free throws and underarm and whatever he's trying. But he's not terrible from the line. He's not 77%, like 60%. He's okay. He's low volume. So he's not going to drag you down in that category. So I think if you can actually dig into what he does and get over that failed point guard, point forward, whatever we want to call it, experiment last year. Chris Paul is there this year. So they're not expecting him to handle the ball like they were last year. So all of that pressure is gone. They've also got Castle there as well. So they're certainly shored up their guard rotation. So I like Sochan as a last round this year as well. Again, if you don't need a lot of points, he can just chip in across a few categories. Is he someone you're interested in?
I'm not as interested in him. I'm not saying I won't draft him. It would just depend on how a draft goes. He wasn't really somebody that was on my radar until you bring him up, and I'm kind of looking at him like, yeah, like I could see it. I think it's what scares me away isn't how he played last year, because it felt like if you didn't leave your draft with Jordan Poole and Jeremy Sochan, you were gonna have a horrible draft, and then like look how that turned out. But it's more just that I feel like his college defensive numbers were better, and it just hasn't translated to the NBA, or maybe that's just what's always been in my head and that confuses me, but the defensive numbers haven't been as good as I really would want them to be. The playmaking is pretty decent for a forward, rebounds pretty good, But I think it's the low percentages and lack of defensive stats thus far that have scared me. Now, could he at 21 years old improve those things? Yes. Could it happen this year? Yes. Could it happen, like playing alongside Chris Paul and Harrison Barnes as opposed to a bunch of young guys trying to figure it out? Like, it's a good situation for him to improve. So we'll see. I think, like with most last round targets, you say, oh, I want to take this guy in the last round. I'm like, oh, sure, why not? Like, go for it. Like, but he is a guy that also has a good bit of upside.
Yeah, yeah. And with any of these guys, probably not Pajemski, like not all of them, but with a lot of them, you're drafting them with a view to, with an understanding that, hey, I might drop this guy in a week. Yeah. He might come out and he might suck, or he might only play 24 minutes, or so we don't know. So there's not a lot of risk at this point. You're just drafting guys that you like and you think they have a bit of upside, and depending on what stats you need, this is where you're going to target your specialists and boost your defensive stats or boost your rebounds, or you're really looking at one or two category guys. So yeah, plenty of names. I'm going to let you get out of here. What's coming up for your show? I know you recorded, as you said, yesterday, day before with Mitch, and that came out. I think that's come. Has that been? I don't think it's been released yet. I don't think we've actually put it up. But yeah, I think B-Dub's plan is to do it maybe today or tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah. Yep. So I mean, that's coming out. I think I was telling Mitch this. I was like, I don't even know how much more Dynasty content I'll do until after the season starts, just because it's kind of getting to the point where everybody's super interested in redraft. Yeah. So probably just maybe trying to do some mocks. That's what everybody wants to see, is mocks. Yeah. So something like that over the next few weeks. With Roto World, we do have our draft guide starting to be rolled out. It looks mm-hmm. very different from the past, but we are publishing columns daily. So if you just go on Roto World Fantasy Basketball, like, there's going to be a new column every day. And then there is a new, like, so our actual draft guide with our ranks, projections, and like player outlooks and stuff like that, that's going to be more like a digital magazine kind of thing. So it'll have like pages you can like kind of scroll through, I guess, not flip through, but scroll through. And I have no idea when that's coming out, but it's soon. I don't know an official date, but that's on it, getting the finishing touches put on that. So it should be out, pretty soon.
Yeah. And I think all of the major sites now, the Roto Baller, Roto World and Roto Wire, are all in the midst of pumping out that preseason content, draft guides, that sort of thing. So there's a lot around, if you're into that sort of stuff, but yeah, hopefully we can cover a lot of that on our shows. And as you said, a lot of mock drafts happening at the moment. I actually don't have one today, so that's nice. I've got a day off.
It's an off day.
From mock drafts. But yeah, look, a ton coming up. As I said at the top of the show, our redraft leagues are just launching. World Cup is about to launch, so we'll have a lot of slow drafts for those kicking off in the next week, I would say. So if you like slow drafting, head over to the website or to Discord. Thank you, Noah, for getting me in after what sounded like a busy day. And I'm sure we'll do a few shows before the start of the season. But for today, that will do. Until next time, everyone, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.